Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder as I step out my front door and deliver an episode to you while I walk the dog. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, good morning, listeners. It's a lovely day here in suburban Chicago. I'm out walking, still cicada time. We got another couple weeks of it, but they seem less intense than they were like a week ago, so that's nice. I'm out for another walk with Abby, the dog, who is visiting us while my daughter is traveling with my in-laws. So fun to have someone joining me. And if you hear me mutter something, like I say something like, come on now, or we're not stopping there, I'm talking to the dog. I try to cut those things out of the podcast, but I could very easily miss one, in which case I'd rather you understand what I'm doing. Well, I was looking back over the recent podcast episodes and I realized it's been 33 episodes since I last did a check-in on reading, which is about 8 past the norm. The idea is I check in every quarter, so every 25 episodes or so I do one about reading. Now, last time I did one was episode 590, and I was talking about fourth quarter of 2024 and my reading in that time. Thus, now I'm talking about the first quarter of 2024. Fourth quarter of 2023 was the last one. So this is the reading roundup. For those of you who haven't listened to the podcast since I've done or new to the podcast since the last time I did a reading roundup, basically what I do is I talk about the books that I've read since the last time I did one of these episodes. And if relevant, I give a little context for a game, but mostly this is a book review episode. So if books are not your thing, well, so be it. All right, let's jump right in. The first book I read, oh, by the way, I do consider audiobooks reading. So if you don't like that take, well, I guess you could email me about it and I'll explain to you why I consider it reading, but whatever. That's just a heads up that some of the books I'll be talking about are audiobooks. Like he's playing a prank on me, there is a cement mixer truck backing up along the road to keep pace with me. What in the tarnation is going on there? Well, the first book I read this month was called The Rhesus Chart. This is another Charles Stross novel from The Laundry Files. I've been enjoying this series and I think I'm gonna continue to read 3 or 4 of them a year until I've finished the series, which I think I'm about halfway through maybe. At the beginning, each of these novels was written like a different, in the style of a different classic British spy novelist, but I think that Strauss has moved beyond that now. In this one, we find our hero Bob and his wife Mo struggling with their relationship as Bob finds himself menaced by an acquaintance from the past, an abusive ex, who is now a vampire and has managed to get herself employed by the laundry again, even though she had been fired before. I like this one quite a bit. I think Strauss was stretching his legs and really trying to find what he could do with the Bob Howard character. And this one, we see the character growing in different ways. We see nuance. We see interesting adventure. We also see him acting the fool, but that happens in every episode. The premise of this one is vampirism, and the idea that vampires exist in the world of the laundry. The clever bit about it is that the way vampirism works is that when, in this world, when a vampire feeds on a person, they get infected with a transdimensional parasite that eats their brain. And the vampire, as it drinks the blood, is giving the transdimensional parasite access to the brain. And in exchange, they're getting power from the blood. So the more of the blood they drink, the more damaged the person gets from the parasite. More importantly, even drinking from somebody once damages them from the parasite, and then they get, over time, they will be slowly eaten by the parasite and they will die. The vampires don't know that's how this works at first. They think it's just mythical vampirism, but Strauss does a really interesting job, again, of thinking about the nature of what if magic had a set of rules, and what if everything in human culture that could be explained, that we used to call magic, could be explained in the context of these new rules. In the context of all the Laundry Files novels, I found the Rhesus Chart to be kind of middle of the pack. It's not my least favorite, but it's certainly not in the top 2, I guess, of the, I think I've read 6 of them now. I've read these five, and I read one that's a couple more beyond, not realizing it was a Laundry Files novel when I started reading it. There aren't a lot of games that I think walk this interesting line. Maybe the two closest games I would say are A Study in Emerald, which imagines the Cthulhu monsters part of the world in the Victorian era, but has a really interesting take on the mix of Cthulhu mythos and human beings. Or the other one would be Cthulhu Death May Die, which also has a sort of interesting take on the idea of modernity and the intermixing of the Cthulhu monsters. I guess Arkham Horror probably would also need to be in the running there, but the other two feel like they engage in a way that's more interesting. Maybe it's just I'm too familiar with Arkham Horror and I see it as its own thing, so I don't see it as interacting in the same way. All right, the next book I want to talk about is Bubble. Bubble is a graphic novel, which I encountered first as a podcast, and I'm not sure whether it was written as a podcast and then refashioned as a graphic novel, or if it was written as a graphic novel first and then made into a podcast. Either way, I thought it was pretty good. The premise is it's the future. There are monsters everywhere, and human beings live in these bubble cities. And if you're outside the bubble cities, there's monsters that come get you. But sometimes the monsters get into the bubble cities, and people need them expunged. And so the book is about a kind of Postmates or the food. I can't remember what it's called. The thing where you have somebody go get your food from a restaurant. It's sort of like one of those, but it's to call people to come kill the monsters that have landed in your yard or whatever. It's a funny commentary on the gig economy. The characters are all sort of 20-something cool people with interesting backstories and good costuming. The art is good, although pretty straightforward. I didn't find the art particularly compelling one way or another. It's sort of more what I would expect a graphic novel to have. I don't know what that means. That was fine. So I don't know that I would recommend it. It was fine. I'm glad I got it from the library and didn't buy it, but it was entertaining. So that's Bubble by Jordan Morris. I did not note the name of the artist. I apologize. You can check the show notes for a link to my Goodreads page about that. I don't know that I can think of a game that fits this mode. Is there a game about being gig economy workers? I don't think so. There must be, but I can't think of one off the top of my head where you're trying to get gigs and manage. I think it'd be too close to real life for too many people, perhaps. Man, I cannot get away from this garbage truck. I don't know if you've been hearing it in the background. I've been trying to stay away or slow down or maneuver so that you don't have to hear it too much, but it seems like no matter where I go, there it is. Slamming and banging and making noise when I'm trying to record a podcast. Where do they get off doing hard work while I'm podcasting? Well, the next book I read is called Mickey 7. This is by Edward Ashton. This is one of those ones where I saw it at the bookstore and thought it looked good, but decided I didn't want to buy it, so I got it from the library instead. I do feel a little bad when that happens, because I think part of what you're paying for at the library, or part of what's going on at a bookstore, is you're paying for the privilege of browsing books. And I don't feel good about seeing a book at a bookstore and then getting it from the library. That said, I did buy a book or two books at the bookstore when I was there. So it's not like I didn't end up supporting them, but I can't buy every book I see that I would like. So that's Mickey 7. I didn't even talk about what it was about. I also listened to this in audiobook form. Did I, or did I read it as a paper? No, I got it in audiobook form. So in Mickey 7, the main character is a person who is trying to get away from the planet they lived on because they owed a lot of money to somebody and they didn't have any way they could see to pay it back. And so they were able to apply for a job on a ship to be the, I don't remember what they called the name of the role, but it's a dangerous engineer. So the premise is that there's a colony ship that's gonna fly for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years to a new colony. And there are things that need to be fixed on the colony ship that are really dangerous. And there is no easy way to fix some of those things. without putting someone in danger. And of course, nobody wants to go into a potentially life-threatening situation if they don't have to. And it's well known that there will be life-threatening situations that come up. And so one of the things that one of the solutions they've come up with is that they do have cloning technology. It's expensive. And the big thing is it's very expensive to clone someone's mind. The body they can do, the mind, very, very expensive. So they can't just copy everyone's mind. They can only afford to copy like one or two minds per trip, generally one. So what they do is they have the cloning machine, and then they have one person who is I don't think they call it the clone. I don't remember what they call the role. So they have one person whose job it is to do those dangerous things. And then when they die, they clone them again. And the idea is that they wait until the last possible second to scan their mind so they can remember everything that happened. But often the last mission they went out on, they don't really know what happened to them because they died. So the main character, his name is Mickey Seven because he is the seventh incarnation of himself. And I don't think I'm spoiling anything here. It's on the back cover of the book. Whole idea is he goes out on a dangerous mission. He is thought to be dead and left for dead, but in fact he survives and comes back. By the time he gets back, they've already cloned a new one. And they certainly don't have the resources to have an extra person. So then there's this thing of what to do with him, given that there's a new one and neither of him nor his new self want to sacrifice themselves for the other. It's an interesting premise. The book is somewhat funny, but also somewhat dramatic. It is a sci-fi adventure story decently told. I thought it was pretty fun. I'm not sure I'm going to read any more of them. The main character was kind of annoying in some of his decision making, but generally pretty entertaining. Yeah, if you get a chance to play Mickey Seven by Edward Ashton, yep. If you get to read that, I would give it a chance. And then if you're going to play a game afterward, obviously the game to play is the role-playing game Paranoia. Paranoia is a role-playing game set in the far future where everybody lives in a giant machine-run compound and answers to the machine. Every person gets born naturally, and then when they hit adult age, they get cloned, and there's a thing in your brain that backs up your brain. I don't know how quickly or how often. It's been a while since I've played Paranoia. But the idea is your brain gets backed up, and then you get pulled out of a vat again if you get killed. Thing is, each person only gets 7 clones, so you have to sort of manage it. But the point of the game is you can die pretty easily, and the other thing is, secret in this society, which is a little fascist because the computer's in control, it's illegal to be in a secret society, but everybody is in a secret society. So there's some fun elements to be had for that as well. That's the Paranoia role-playing game. I know that it was republished sometime in the last decade, as opposed to the version that was published in the 90s or the early 2000s, which is the one I played. Well worth checking out if you can. Next up is Where the Black Stars Rise by Nadia Seamus. This is a graphic novel sort of built around the story or idea of the King in Yellow. I thought it was good. Honestly, I don't remember it very well. I did read it 3 months ago. But you would think I remember more than I do, given the recency of the story. The art is really striking. It's got a kind of stark, angular feel to it, and it's all black and white and yellow, as fits, because it's sort of around the King in Yellow story, or stories that we see from the H.P. Lovecraft mythos, but based on a play. I can't remember who wrote the play. So that's Where the Black Stars Rise. I'll say check it out, although, like I said, I don't remember the plot. I'm going to have to go look again. Next up, speaking of not remembering the plot, next up we have A Wizard of Earthsea. I saw this on my shelf and I thought, oh, I've always wanted to read that. I should check it out. And I went to read it. I read it. I thought it was fine. It's like a young adult novel before they really had young adult novels, but it's very much the sort of adventure tale of a young wizard who turns out to be really good at wizarding, gets himself over his head. I mean, if you were to take something more recent like Patrick Rothfuss's In the Name of the Wind and cut out all the flashback stuff so it's just a straightforward story, it feels an awful lot like The Wizard of Earthsea. Very similar. That said, I got to the end of the first one, which is part of a series, I guess, and I thought it was all right. Not amazing, but all right. And I went to log it in Goodreads and discovered I read it like 8 years ago. I had zero memory of reading this. Yikes. So maybe in 8 years I'll read it again and give you another review. But A Wizard of Earthsea, it's your sort of standard young wizard learning stuff story. So in terms of games, I would say any of the games that embody the young wizards at wizarding school kind of story. Just because of the impish nature of the main character and his desire to get knowledge he shouldn't have, let's say Big Book of Madness would be the accompanying game. Finally, the last book I read was called Suburban Hell by Maureen Kilmer. I'm probably not the target audience for this book. This book feels very much targeted at suburban moms. It's about like a suburban moms group who gets disruptive because an ancient demon possesses one of them and slowly inhabits the neighborhood, turns everything terrible. And I thought that was a good story. It was interesting. There were parts of it that were generally genuinely creepy. The physical description of the monster was pretty horrific, and I liked all of that stuff very much. I read it as an audiobook, by the way. What I found just sort of a little tiresome was the level at which the men in the story were buffoons. And there you go. Welcome to Representation 101. The fact that the male characters were all such obnoxious a-holes was, I guess, not surprising for a story that's focused on the notion of suburban moms and the troubles, the difficulties they face, but I still found it pretty tiresome over the course of the book. And there were just one too many times where the novelist showed us, rather than telling us, that her main character was frustrated by the way that her husband was acting and her husband's friend. While I liked the horror stuff in it, I found that actually got pretty tiresome. In the end, I found it made the book so much less enjoyable to me that at the end I didn't really enjoy the book. Again, probably not target audience. Maybe this speaks to the question of representation, or I would suggest a poor variety in the way that the author crafted her male characters. But maybe the point was male characters were absent. That was the idea, either literally or spiritually. I don't really have a game to suggest to accompany Suburban Hell. I don't really have a game that fits that. I mean, there's an old Nintendo game about your neighbors being zombies that feels apropos. Or maybe Zombie 15 is a game about kids running through suburbs and being harassed by zombies. That's the closest we can get, so I'll stick with that one. Well, that's about the end of my time today and the end of the space I have for my walk. So I will thank you for joining me and hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Bye-bye. Can you stay on the left this time? Can you be on my left side? Over here? Over here? Great. Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder as I step out on the street. Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder as I step out with the dog and deliver... No. But they are a... Cicadas.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.